Hello and welcome to the KTH 910 AM interview of the week on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. And thank you so much for joining us. My name is Dave Palmer, executive director here at the station. Diane Xavier is running our board, and we are going to talk today about the Latin Mass, and especially an apostolate that has been formed here in North Texas called Una Voce by a gentleman I met originally because we sent our kids to the same school, Regina Caeli Academy, in the Keller area. But he has started this up, and so we're going to talk about the Latin Mass, this particular apostolate, and why you might be interested in, if nothing else, experimenting, attending a Latin Mass, participating, and seeing if it might be a good fit for you and your family. And so I want to welcome to the broadcast R.L. Florence, president of Una Voce Fort Worth. How you doing?
Good, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, yeah. So give me a little bit of background. You're married to Elise. Y'all have four children, one of them inside the womb, three outside, right? Expecting a child at the end of this year. So congratulations on that. Cradle Catholic?
Actually, growing up, my mom was Catholic. My dad was a Methodist. So for the first 10 years of my life, we weren't really anything. And, okay, you know, my parents talked about Jesus, and we kind of said different prayers, but didn't usually go to church. But I guess about the age of 11, my mom decided to baptize us. And my dad said he'd come to church with us when we came. So sitting in the pews, my dad would listen to the different priests, and we had this one priest, Monsignor Hart, came, and my dad was really impressed with him, and he decided to convert. And once my dad converted, things started changing in our family and getting more serious about the faith.
And then how did the exposure to the Latin Mass come about? At what point in your life?
Yeah, so after my dad converted, we started going more to Mass. But we didn't actually get exposed to Latin Mass until first it was my parents. After I was in college at the time, and my parents came across, I think it was at Fishermore College, they had a little Latin Mass there, and they started going to it. And then they found a Mass they had once a week at St. Mary the Assumption in Fort Worth. And from there, my parents started talking about it, and I actually, and my brother, who's now a seminarian with the Fraternity of St. Peter, we both really actually didn't like it the first time we came. And it was so it wouldn't be what you would expect, but it's kind of a shocking experience the first time you see it.
Yeah, so you didn't like it the first time, and I think you told me you were about, 18 or so? Is that right? How old were you when you first had your first exposure?
My first exposure, I was actually older than that. I was probably 22 or 23.
Oh, okay, so a little bit later in life. And then, well, you just... Well, what made you go back? Or if you really don't like it the first time, what was the reason for going back and giving it another chance?
Yeah, I think it was, you know, God's grace. And, you know, as I was telling you, when I was in law school at the time at Vanderbilt, and I had thought I had a job lined up that fell through. And I was kind of, at the time that it fell through, all the other firms had hired people, and I was having trouble finding a job, and I'd just gotten married, and I was you know, nervous about that. And my dad, who had been going to the Latin Mass for a while, he said, you know, these priests are always talking about, you know, you need to pray the rosary all the time, and he said he'd been doing it, and it was something that he had seen a lot of benefit from, and he said, why don't you try doing that? And then he also told me about the first five Saturday devotion.
Yeah.
And so I, for some reason, it wasn't really in my character, because at the time I typically went to Mass, but not all the time.
Yeah.
And it was a very small portion of my life, the Catholic faith. But I decided to go ahead and start praying the rosary, because I was kind of desperate. You know, I had a wife that I wanted to be able to support, and we wanted to have a family. And so I started doing this praying the rosary every day in the first five Saturday devotion. And at the end of that fifth Saturday, I got a job in Beaumont, which was a huge step down from where I was in Dallas.
Yeah,
and it was, you know, less than half of what I was going to be making for, but it was all I had, so I went ahead and accepted it. But what happened during that 5 months is that other things I had been struggling with, other sins and bad habits, all of a sudden just started fading away to the point that they were non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
I no longer had these temptations that I'd struggled with for such a long time. And so that was the first kind of turning point, and all that came through the Latin Mass. And once I moved to Beaumont, I met this group of Catholics there. They were kind of doing the same things I'm trying to do up here now, which is, you know, they're trying to promote the Latin Mass. And that I've never met there. Most of them were my age. They had really nice families. I never met people that were this so zealous about the faith.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted to know what was driving them. And so that was what sparked it, that example that they had of their love for Christ and his church.
Yeah. So eventually you leave Beaumont, you come to North Texas, you're living in Fort Worth and working in Fort Worth now. Many people are familiar with modern-day Latin Mass Parish. It's been around quite some time. But they may not realize that a Latin Mass Parish has come up, I think it's been about three years now, in Fort Worth called St. Benedict's. And that's where you and your family worships, right?
Yes. Yeah, we go to St. Benedict's. It's kind of northwest Fort Worth. It's inside the Loop on Azle Avenue. And yeah, we're coming up on our 3-year anniversary. The Latin Mass has been in Fort Worth since I think 1991,
mm-hmm.
but we just got this new church. It used to be St. Thomas the Apostle, and it's really growing quickly. I think we're about close to adding a third Mass already. And just last night, actually, the bishop came and did confirmations, and it was really beautiful.
When the bishop comes, does he do a Latin Mass for the confirmation, or does he concelebrate, or how does that work?
Yeah, so he did the confirmations in the extraordinary form, and it was the first time he had done it, and he learned it for it, and it was really nice.
Oh, wow, that's pretty pretty monumental. That's pretty a historic moment. If you're just tuning in, R.L. Florence is my guest. He and his wife, Elise, have four children. One's in the womb. They're expecting their fourth child later this year. And they're members of St. Benedict Parish in Fort Worth, as R.L. was just mentioning about. And a lot of people, I think, you know, have this almost like, I don't think I want to do the Latin Mass. You know, they're very used to the Novus Ordo. Novus Ordo is the ordinary form of the Mass in the Catholic Church right now. What appeals to you and your family about the Latin Mass? Well, what do you like about it? And then we'll get into the Una Voce that you started, mm-hmm. and all about that as well.
Yeah, so I can definitely understand the hesitancy because I experienced that myself. It's completely different than what you're used to. But as I learned more about it, which is why, you know, I try to encourage people to go more than once, you know, the things that really drew me in were first, you know, reception of the Eucharist. Everybody receives the Eucharist at an altar rail, kneeling on the tongue. There's no chance of any, you know, particles of Christ falling onto the ground and be trampled upon. In fact, as I learned more, after the priest consecrates the host, he keeps his two fingers together for the rest of the Mass until he's done with distribution of communion, just to not risk any particle of the host falling. And I think that, you know, when you see statistics that talk about how the belief in the real presence have really dropped, I think that's an important reason because it really demonstrates that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll give you some of the common objections and tell me what you would say about this. Somebody says, I want to be able to understand what the priest says. I want to, when the Eucharistic prayer, I want it in English because I don't understand Latin. You know, what's your answer to that?
Well, I think the prayers are the same every week and every day, so you can learn pretty quickly. You know, my daughter's, you know, Latin's not really foreign to them. Although they're still young, they're not surprised by it. But the other thing, I mean, the great thing is that, you know, Latin is the language of the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
Just like as Americans, we speak English, you know, the Catholic Church is Latin. And so it unites us worldwide, and not only worldwide, but also unites us in time.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same language, the same Mass, the same prayers that were being said by St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Therese, all of those great saints throughout history.
Yeah, and it's really growing too, isn't it? I know, you know, Mater Dei is building a new sanctuary, and you've told me, you just said that they've had to expand Masses. I think you said three Masses now, and that says a lot. And it's also a lot of young families. It isn't, all people are welcome, but it's not just people that are reliving the old days when they were going to the Latin Mass back in the 50s. It's people who are just seeing it for the first time, and it's appealing to them, young families.
Yeah, and it's mostly, even if they're not young families, it's mostly people that don't have experience with it in the past. It's not people that are nostalgic. And there's, I mean, tons of young families, big families like ours.
Mm-hmm. And so you started a local chapter of Una Voce Fort Worth, located online at unavocefw.org. And that's unavocefw.org. And you're the president of it. Tell us about this organization.
Yeah, so Una Voce is actually an international apostolate. It was founded in 1965, and it was kind of founded at the time that changes to the Mass and other things were going on. So its kind of goals are to preserve, at the time it was founded, to preserve the Latin Mass as one of the forms of the Roman Rite. And now that that's been done through Pope Benedict's Summorum Pontificum, now it's to kind of promote the Latin Mass. And so because of the impact it had on our family, you know, I started a local chapter. It's in 30 to 40 different countries. There's probably 60 chapters across the United States. But when I moved up here, there was not one in Fort Worth. And there was one in Beaumont, which is kind of what gave me the idea of doing one here in Fort Worth.
Yeah. And nothing in Dallas that you know of?
Yeah, there's nothing in Dallas.
All right. And what does the group do? Do you have meetings? Do you know, what are the kind of the activities on a weekly or monthly basis?
Yeah, so we have meetings typically once a month, and so some meetings are kind of trying to plan different projects in the area, and then other ones are just, you know, in a couple of weeks we're having a poker night, you know, just hanging out to kind of, and that's, those social events are kind of to try to make people feel comfortable, you know, that we have kind of things going on at St. Benedict's.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned the document by Pope Benedict the 16th, Summorum, what was it called?
Summorum Pontificum.
Yeah, and as I recall, when that came out, there was an allowance where somebody could go to your regular parish and say, I'd like the Latin Mass, and the priest is supposed to say, oh, okay, you know, we'll do a Latin Mass, you know, once a month or once a week. We'll have that doesn't seem to have happened. You have these individual parishes like Mater Dei or St. Benedict's. Do you see the future, you know, 10, 20, 30 years from now, where ordinary Novus Ordo parishes are offering Latin Mass, or do you think maybe two or three Latin Mass parishes will be popping up? What do you see down the road?
Well, that's kind of one of my goals, is that I'd like there to be one, you know, extraordinary form in every church.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that was the intent of Pope Benedict. As he says, you know, he wants both of the masses to inform each other and to help each other grow. And so that's one of the things we work on is training priests in the Latin Mass. So we have people that can train them here. We also provide 100% financial assistance for them to go up to the Priestly Fraternity of St. Peter's Seminary, where they have week-long seminars, and there's, you know, several other options. We provide videos, and so that's one of the things we try to work on, because, you know, I think of myself, who grew up in the Novus Ordo, was not very engaged, and, it, you know, the switch could have happened a lot earlier. I think it's another evangelical tool that the church has. You know, this is the Mass that we've had for so long that converted so many people, and so that should... It's just one different form of the Roman Rite that's in existence today. So I'd like to hope it gets into every church.
Yeah, I don't know if you have the numbers or not, but the seminary for the Priestly Fraternity of St. Peter, if I got that name right, which I believe is in Nebraska, is it?
Yes.
Omaha? And it's really bursting at the seams. Your own brother, of course, is in formation there, but there is a lot of young men are finding this form of Mass, this form of liturgy, very appealing, aren't they, as far as a vocation?
Yes, the vocations that come out of the Latin Mass. There's a priest I was telling you about earlier, Father Kloster, who's been doing some nationwide studies. He's a priest that does the Novus Ordo in the Latin Mass, and he's looking, and he's, you know, 8-to-1 vocations out of the Latin Mass versus the Novus Ordo. But yeah, the fraternity itself, I don't know. I think there's maybe 80 to 100 seminarians, but they have to turn down quite a bit, I think. You know, that they get tons of applications, but just because of the room they have and the money they have, they can't accept nearly as many people as are applying.
Yeah. You had shared some statistics with me about Latin Mass families, and I think the one that was really struck me the most was the number of the children stay Catholic at a greater rate than Novus Ordo. And tell us about that. It's a pretty amazing statistic.
Yeah, so this Father Donald Kloster, he's a priest in the Diocese of Bridgeport, Connecticut, and he is doing some, he does Novus Ordo and Latin Mass, but he said he noticed a while back that there was just a fundamental difference between his parishioners, and he wanted to do a study to see what that explains. So he's been doing nationwide surveys on Latin Mass populations, and one of the statistics among many that he's found is that for every 10 Novus Ordo kids, there's 16 Latin Mass children born. But the most striking thing is that of the 10 Novus Ordo, only two remain Catholic by the time they leave the home, versus of the 16 Latin Mass kids, for the most part, all 16 are still Catholic when they leave the home.
Yeah, and I got to throw in, and I know you would agree with this, of course, the Novus Ordo Mass is very legitimate, and we're not knocking it. You know, this is just particular statistics that come out, and of course, there are exceptions, and families that go to Novus Ordo Mass and all their kids, you know, end up just awesome, and so we're not by any means trying to denigrate the Novus Ordo Mass, because it is what the Church recognizes at this time in history as the ordinary form of the liturgy. The name Una Voce, one voice, where does that come from?
So it's one voice through like the Latin, and like I was telling you earlier, in the Latin Mass, the preface before you get to the Sanctus or the Holy, 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 it's Una Voce Dicentes, you know, in one voice saying Holy, Holy, Holy Lord. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of noticed that myself. I'm not sure if they actually, where they got it, but I think it's mainly one voice, one Mass, throughout the world.
Yeah. And you mentioned your children. I know they're young. Do they like the Latin Mass, or have you talked to other parents who maybe have teenage kids? And what's basically the response from the youngsters?
Yeah, I think the children like it. And, you know, my children haven't seen anything else, but I think it's interesting because sometimes a controversial topic is veiling.
Yeah.
And my children, my oldest daughter, they're all girls, is five, and she talks about how beautiful she thinks veils are,
yeah.
And it's kind of a interesting dynamic.
Yeah, I think they're beautiful as well. And of course, even at a Latin Mass parish, they're not mandatory, right? I know sometimes they'll offer them there in the back if a woman wants to use one, but it's not an essential part. Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't that right?
Is
that,
yes.
They're probably recommended and encouraged, but not mandatory.
Yeah, encouraged, but not mandatory.
Yeah,
sure.
Mantilla, I guess, is the official name. R.L. Florence is my guest, President Una Voce Fort Worth. It's Una Voce FW. I want to put a D in there. Una Voce FW.org. UNAVOCEFW.org. When people visit that website, what will they find?
So we have a page of kind of resources, and there's stuff for, you know, priests if they want to start learning. There's videos that the Priestly Fraternity of St. Peter have put together that kind of go through a step-by-step process. There's also links to organizations, you know, different monasteries or convents that are Latin Mass oriented, or different the different traditional groups, and there's also a donate page if you want to help contribute to, you know, training a priest or something like that.
Yeah, and of course, if for no other reason, just to see and experience a Latin Mass, you invite them to come out to St. Benedict's. What are the Mass times?
It's 9:30 and 11.
Okay, on Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 11 a.m.
And then there's every day, Monday through Saturday, at 12:15 Mass as well.
Oh, okay, and I think there's daily Mass at Mater Dei as well. I don't know the Mass schedule, but I think their website is materdei.com. But, of course, nowadays you can Google and find the parishes quite quickly. All right, R.L., thanks for your time today. Is there anything else that you would like to say to our listeners in encouragement and, you know, discovering the treasure of this ancient Mass or anything else before we let you go?
Yeah, I would just encourage everybody to come out to either St. Benedict's or Mater Dei, and, you know, don't give up on it on the first try. Try to, you know, everybody's excited when we see new people there, so don't think that we're, you know, judging because you don't understand what's going on. We're actually incredibly excited. You might get swarmed by people, but, you know, reach out and try to, you know, Dr. Marshall talks about a 3-month challenge. You know, try to go for 3 months to learn it, and I think you'll get it quickly. And it, just like it did with my life, will have a transformational impact.
Yeah. I'm glad you pointed that out, because I know there's a reputation or a stigma sometimes. People on the outside say, I'm going to be judged. They're going to be, stuffy and, not friendly. And that's never been my experience in the Latin Mass community. I think, like you say, they'll be welcomed with open arms if they do want to check it out. All right. Well, that is going to do it. Again, my guest has been R.L. Florence, President, Una Voce Fort Worth. Go to unavocefw.org, unavocefw.org, and you can find information, or you can email them directly at president@unavocefw.org if you have any questions or comments about today's interview. That's going to do it. Diane Xavier, thank you for running the board and producing this program, and thank you for listening. And if you have any suggestions for future programs, I always appreciate suggestions. My email address is davepalmer@grnonline.com. Thanks for listening. God bless you.